See, a lot of times we give a different love to others than we give to ourselves. Isn't that right? We evaluate others by, did you keep the rules? We evaluate ourselves by grace. When someone else is driving a new car, they're conceited. When I'm driving a new car, I got a great deal. When others are late, they're insensitive. When we're late, we got stuck in traffic. Bad traffic out there. Bad traffic.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Let me ask you, how many times have you been disappointed by friends? The ones you thought you were closest to have let you down. Well, it happens to all of us. But once in a while, you'll find a really true friend, one who will stick with you through thick and thin. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Great Friendships. But just before Pastor speaks, we're going to take you to a little sidewalk cafe and listen in on a few friends who are gathered together for a birthday celebration.
Oh my gosh, you did a really great job.
Yeah, I don't think it's too dark.
No. Well, not now, but I had to wash it like 10 times yesterday.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
You should see the stain around my bathtub.
Ew. You just can't make it lighter?
I know, I had it done once and hated it.
Oh, you know what, is that color permanent?
Well, I think it's permanent, semi-permanent, almost permanent, sometimes permanent, you name it, it's out there.
Oh my. You know, I've been thinking about chemically straightening my hair. You know, what do you think?
You mean like my hair? Oh no, I can't see you like that at all.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, girls. Sorry I'm late. I had an association meeting and we were having so much fun, I just lost track of time.
Oh, my.
Your community has more meetings.
Happy birthday, sweetie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Are you ready to order?
Oh, already?
This is breakfast. We came for lunch.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't start serving lunch until 11:30.
Okay, we'll just wait then.
Mona, that's not till 11. That's another hour.
What, are you in a hurry to go home?
You know what? Let's just order some bagels. We have our coffee. I think that'll hold us over to lunch.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure, why not?
Okay. So, I got word that there's a birthday girl here today.
Yeah.
She is 41, but don't tell anyone.
Wow. She don't look good. A day past the big 4-0.
Gosh, she looks great.
I'm impressed.
You say that to all the girls.
Well, I'll be right back with your coffee, your bagels, and your lunch menu.
That'd be great, thanks.
Thank you. Maya, you didn't have some place to go, did you?
Well, I do have to pick up the kids at 3:30, and then Tim and the kids, they're gonna take me out to dinner at a restaurant.
Oh, have you guys ever been to that Australian restaurant by the Ilikai? What's the name?
Oh, downstairs.
Yeah, have you ever been there?
I have.
You have?
The food is so hot and spicy.
Really?
Do you know where I like to eat? I love that French restaurant at the Halekulani.
You gotta be kidding. I can buy my kids' entire school wardrobe for what it costs to eat there.
It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm. Maya, we brought gifts. You want to open them now or later?
You know what? We have time to kill, so why don't I open them now?
Okay. Oh, good.
Here, open mine first.
No. You are last.
Why do I always have to go last?
Because yours is expensive and then ours looks junk next to yours.
Yeah.
The sacrifices I have to make for marrying Rich.
Oh, here, open mine.
Ooh, nice bag.
It's not much, but it's the thought that counts. Mm-hmm.
Oh, earrings.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful.
Aren't those wild? Uh-huh. I found them at Ross. They're so nice.
That's
you see that?
Great.
I decided if we're gonna get older, we might as well do it with some sparkle and pizzazz.
Might as well.
That's a hard pleasant thought. Thanks, Leanne.
But you know what I mean.
Okay, mine.
It's not much. Will you cut it out with the it's not much stuff? Every year, every birthday, every Christmas, I've got to hear the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Let's
see what you can get. Oh, what a cute photo album, Cowie.
Uh-huh. It is so amazing what you can get at those 99-cent stores.
99 cents?
Uh-huh. Stop it. Here, open mine. I spent a lot of money, and it's still filled with thoughtfulness.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Cowie. I love
you're
that.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Let's go.
Ooh. Oh,
no. Look at that.
It's beautiful.
Don't forget my birthday, October 18th. Write it down.
And I'm a size 8?
Size 8.
Thank you so much, Mona.
You're welcome. It's
nice. I just love the style and the color. It's gorgeous. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I need one of these for my next association meeting.
Excuse me, that is not a backyard party blouse.
Yeah,
backyard.
Not even in your neighborhood.
Yep.
And speaking of neighborhoods, you know that new neighbor I told you just moved in?
Oh,
she's even more weird than I thought.
Well, tell.
Just the other day.
What?
These are my best friends. We've known each other for years. They'd do anything for me. So then why do I feel so alone? I go home after being with them, and I feel, I don't know, empty somehow. You see, I'm the listener in the group. But the problem with being with the good listener is that no one listens to you. Oh, they don't do it intentionally. It's just that something I'm saying triggers something in them, and all of a sudden they're off and running before you know it. And I care about their lives. I do. What they're doing, what's going on with them. I guess I'm not sure if they care about me and what I'm going through. In fact, they don't even know me. They're supposed to be my best friends, and they don't really know me. And lately, I've been monitoring my phone calls, screening them, and I look, and if it's their number, I don't pick up. And then I hear their nice messages, and I just feel so guilty. But sometimes, it just hurts too much to deal with one of them. I just wish someone would care about me. Someone would care about me.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about, friendship. So if you would take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called The Greatest of All, where the Lord takes certain things that He calls great and enumerates them and details them out. And today we want to talk about a quality of love that will be defined in the context of friendship, because there's so many qualities of love, right? There's great qualities of love, wonderful, and then it's all the way to the bottom, like, you know, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name kind of love. That's down, down, down. Well, sometimes one of the things we do wrong right out of the blocks with friendships is we define it incorrectly. We often define a friend as someone who likes me, looks like me, never argues with me, always is there to support me, and is like me, looks like me, is me, you know, that kind of very selfish kind of friendship. And we need to redefine it. And we kind of define it in terms of like these three friends that were stranded out in the ocean. And they were about ready to die when up comes bobbing a bottle, and one guy pulls it out, a Japanese guy, and a genie comes out. And the genie says, I'm going to give you 3 wishes, and because you're the first one to get the bottle, you get the first wish. And the Japanese guy says, oh, I wish I was back at home drinking tea with my wife, Tomoko-san. All of a sudden, kapoof, he's gone, whisked away. The Hawaiian guy next says, I next. I wish I was back at home eating like the kind fish and poi with my girlfriend, Lani. Poof, he's gone, whisked away. And the third one, the genie says, okay, you get the last wish, was a Portuguese guy. And he said, I feel so lonely, I wish my friends was back here. Wrong kinds of friends, wrong kind. Often we define friendships as sort of like in a selfish way. But we want to find a biblical definition. And in fact, let's read John 15:13 at the top of our notes. Go. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Would you underline, lay down his life? Ah, it's going to start to talk about a different quality of love. You see, because that kind of friend is, would you write in that first bullet, committed to God's very best in your life. And when you find a friend that's committed to God's best in your life, oh, not what he wants, what God wants, and he's committed to making sure that you are part of that, hang on to those. Because often, see, friends are there. They're like fair weather friends. If you give me what I want and I give you what you want, then we're kind of compatible. But as soon as you don't give me what I want and I ain't giving you what you want, and that's it, we're over. And that is the worst kind of friendship. The friendship that God wants and is going to define for us is defined in John 15 and verse 14. Let's read that. Go. You are my friends if you do what I, command you. It's friends that are committed to what God is commanding or saying, and they hold you to what is God's best. No, this isn't God's best. We don't do that. Yeah, but I want to. No, that's not God's best for you, because I'm committed to God's best. And friendship in that kind of terms is not like who's right, but what's right. It's not who's the best, it's what's the best. And when you find a friend that's committed to God's very best in your life and will hold you to it and protect you from anything less than God's best, even if it includes or excludes that person, you want to hang on to those. Those are great friends. Otherwise, see, most of our friendships are like fair weather friends. When everything is going good and we can mutually agree, fine. But as soon as we don't, boom, we're done. That's it. Now I hate you. I'm your enemy. You're my enemy. And when push comes to shove, we're not really friends. We're just friends when it's convenient. But when it ain't, I'm out. It's like the two friends, Joaquin and Manuel. They were hunting in Canada. All of a sudden, Joaquin yells, ah, and a grizzly bear is charging after them. And Joaquin says, Manuel, let's run as fast as we can, run. And Manuel's putting on his tennis shoes. Don't put on your tennis shoes, just run. You can't outrun the bear with those tennis shoes anyway. He said, I don't need to outrun the bear. Why you put it on the shoes? Because I got to outrun you, he said. You know, fair weather friends. We say, okay, well, if I want to start like being friends and learning what the Bible says about this kind of definition of a quality of love, if I want to learn what that quality of love is and attain to that, approach that, where do I start? Where do I start just sort of like practicing friendships so that in the midst of that, I can understand the highest quality of love? Greater love is no man than this. If it's in the context of friends, where do I begin? Here's a very obvious place to begin, but it's really something that is not common. Would you write number one? Start with those you love. You say, what? Yeah, start with those you love. Start being friends with them. You mean like the ones I love, like my family? And if you're married, my wife or my husband, my kids? Uh-huh. Yeah, but sometimes they're the hardest ones to love. They stretch me. How many of you would say there's people in my family that stretch my love? Raise your hand. Don't look to the left or the right. Just look straight ahead. Yeah. Yeah, mine too. They stretch. They just stretch your love. But that's why 1 Peter 4:8 says this. Let's read it together. Go. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Would you circle the word fervent? Keep fervent. You know why that's so important? It says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because it's this kind of love that'll cover a multitude of sins. That word fervent in the Greek actually means a stretching and a straining. Above all, have a love that is able to be stretched and strained. There's got to be some elasticity. And we're talking about now this highest quality of love that we're trying to find out and define. This kind of love, greater love is no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friend. It's a love that has elastic to it, that is willing to be stretched and strained. That's how your love will grow. See, a lot of times our love has no elasticity to it. So if you don't meet my standards, I'll give you two chances. But if you don't, that's it. I'm done. But God so loved the world that he stretched and strained his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, he stretched his love to embrace us. Did he compromise his love? No. Did he tolerate our sin? No. Did he get soft on sin? No, not at all. He was stretching and straining. And that's what God does. He stretches and strains, and he makes room for our immaturities, our sins. And the Lord stretched his mantle over you and over me. We all sin. How many of you have sinned? Raise your hand. Yeah, the ones of you that didn't, you just lied, so you sinned. So we've all sinned. All sin and fall short of the glory of God, just this morning. Yeah, and so God stretches that over, and he embraces us like we are. No, not to get soft on sin, in order to cover sin with his forgiveness. That's why he says, above all, keep stretching in a straining kind of love, because that's a kind of love that covers, not tolerates or endorses, covers a multitude of sins. And I'm so glad his mantle stretched to include us. With all our faults, with all our foibles, with all our warts, and within his embrace of stretch, we are transformed. He's okay. Well, then who do we start? Who do we start with this kind of love? Would you write there in the first bullet, start with yourself. Well, what do you mean? Start with yourself. You see, the Bible says this. Let's read Matthew 19:19 together. Go. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, he's saying this. What kind of love do you want to give away? The kind of love you give to yourself. See, a lot of times we give a different love to others than we give to ourselves. Isn't that right? We evaluate others by, did you keep the rules? We evaluate ourselves by grace. Oh, it's a different kind. Uh-huh. When someone else calls in sick at the office, we say, they're lying. When we call in sick, it's one of the benefits that I paid for as an employee here. When someone else is driving a new car, they're conceited. When I'm driving a new car, I got a great deal. When others are late, they're insensitive. When we're late, we got stuck in traffic. Bad traffic out there. Bad traffic. Isn't that right? When others don't call back a phone call, they're uncaring. When we don't call back someone, it's because we're so busy. We're busy. When someone else gets mad, they're immature, dysfunctional. They need anger management. When I get mad, it's a righteous anger. Jesus even had that. Isn't that right? And the Lord says, hey, 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 love one another as you love yourself. Just start there. Just start there. Because sometimes we think it's so hard to do what the Bible says. No, it's really pretty easy. Oh, it's not simple. Because we have to work at it a little bit. But it really isn't something really difficult either. It's pretty easy. He just says, start with the same kind of love with which you love yourself. In other words, you use a lot of grace. Well, friendships are not possible without grace. Let's read what Proverbs 18:24 says. Go. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Are you known for grace? If you're friendly, you're a person of grace. Because you give grace to yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you're a friendly person. You're going to give that kind of grace. Are you known for grace? Or are you known for someone that toes the line all the time? You see, if you're not known for grace, you won't have many friends. Because in order to make friends, you've got to extend a stretching and a straining love. And that's what covers a multitude of sins. Tolerate sin? No. Soften sin? No. Grace. You see, Jesus was someone who showed grace. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery? He showed her grace. The thief on the cross, Jesus showed him grace. The Samaritan woman, the well, showed her grace. The prodigal son who had rejected the father, he said, show him grace. Peter denying Christ 3 times, Jesus says, grace. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, Jesus showed him grace. You see, when you are a person of grace, it doesn't reduce people's respect for you, it actually increases. Oh, you're gonna have the naysayers. He's soft on sin. He's no good. He's, you know, you gotta hold the line. I bet those very same people in our churches today, if you rewind the tape 2,000 years, they would have been in the crowd, the same thing with Jesus. Crucify him. Because he showed grace. He's soft on sin. The Lord said, no, I'm not. I will take sin and give you grace instead. Greater love is no man than this. And he what? Lay down his life. Do you understand? He's saying, if you're gonna come to the greatest quality of love, it's going to be defined in the context of friendships. And one of them is the qualities is you're going to lay down your life for your friend. Oh, you don't tolerate or get soft on. No, you just lay down your life. Your right to hit, your right to say, that's terrible. That just lay it down. You know what's right and what's wrong, but you extend grace. The same grace, Jesus says, that I extend to you. So love one another even as I have loved you. And it's in the context of friendships. Start with those that you love. Start there. Start with yourself. Give out grace so that you give the same. And when you give out grace, You're just extending that mantle. You're not compromising sin. You're extending the mantle. The story is told of a soldier in World War II. His buddy was shot and killed in battle, and he wanted to give him a rightful burial so that he can come back and visit the grave one year. He didn't want to just bury him anywhere, so there was this little Catholic cemetery on a knoll in Italy, and so he went up there, carried his buddy all the way up there, knocked on the door, and this priest came out. They said, "Excuse me," he said, I just want to give my friend a rightful burial, and I don't want to bury him in the forest anywhere, because I want to come and just visit his grave. He's my best friend. Can I bury him in the cemetery?" The priest said, "Well, is he Catholic?" No, he's not. He said, "I'm so sorry. There's a policy that says only Catholics can be buried in the cemetery." So he said, "Oh, Father, but it's my best friend." He said, "I know. And I know the policy. But I tell you what, in order for you to come back and find him, he'll be buried right outside the fence just as you go into the entrance. That's where he'll be." "That's fine," he said. The soldier said, "That's fine." He said, "Okay, I'll take care of that." Well, some 7 or 8 years later, he did come back, and he looked for the grave, and he couldn't find it. So he knocked on the door, and the same priest opened the door, and he said, "Do you remember me?" And the priest said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't. I brought my friend, and remember, we were going to bury him right outside the gate to the left." And oh, the priest said, "I remember you. Yeah, he was my best friend, but I looked, I couldn't find him." Ah, the priest said, "You'll find him if you go into the cemetery, and he's right on the left." He said, I thought only Catholics could be buried in the cemetery." "Yes," the priest said, "I'm sorry for that rule." So you moved the grave?" With a twinkle in his eye, the priest said, "No, I moved the fence." You see, that's what the Lord does. Oh, he doesn't compromise. He extends grace. And your respect for him goes up. Oh, sometimes it's so easy for people to say, "Be hard on this, be hard on that." And what you do is you diminish relationships. You kill relationships in order that the rules be kept. The Lord is saying, no, I'm greater than that. Oh, and I'm not saying tolerate sin. I'm saying extend grace. And if you understand that distinction, you'll begin to approach the greatest quality of love man has ever seen. Oh, a lot of men don't understand that. Because either black or white. No, my blood covers it. When you begin to understand grace, you begin to understand the greatest love of all. And it'll be seen in the context of friendships. Well, where do you start then? Okay, I want to give the same grace I give to myself to others. Where do I start then with those that I love? Write in number 2. Here's one. We don't like to say this, but start with your spouse if you're married. Spouse, yeah, write that in there. Spouse. And I want you to read Proverbs 25 with me. And this is what happens when you are not friends with those that you love. Let's read it. Go. "It is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Oh. I'm not going to say much on that scripture. I'm just going to leave it as is. Just got to move right along. But all that to say is when you're not friends with those that you love, it's very lonely. It's like living in the corner of a roof. And what the Bible is saying is start by making friends with those you love. If you just start there, the world will be a wonderful place. In the 1970s, Three Dog Night wrote this song, and it says, "One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know." How many of you remember that song? Yeah, I don't. It's way before my time, but I'm glad you do. And then the second verse goes like this, "Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one." And you think, two can be as bad? Yeah, you know what they're saying? Sometimes anyway, you can be married and be lonelier than when you were single.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Great Friendships by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs reminding you from Scripture, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, "There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." And from John 15, 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for a friend." Until the same time tomorrow, God bless you, my friend, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.